Now, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, kenolach, when he was walking in the street, his head was down because, you know, a balgaiva, he puts his nose up in the air and he feels himself to be a big Mr. Important Matzias man, so he walks with his head up in the air. A tzaddik, a person that feels himself low in front of Hashem, they bend over a little bit. I mean, at least they sort of, they're not looking way up, they're looking a little bit down. And such a big tzaddik like Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, he was walking like this, looking down, and he's feeling himself low in front of Hashem. And of course, a Talmud Chacham, when he walks, what is he thinking about? He thinks about Torah. Do you know that a Talmud Chacham never goes four steps without thinking Torah in his head? And a person that takes four steps and he doesn't think Torah is not a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham will never go four steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, unless he was thinking Torah in his head. So if you see a Talmud Chacham walking down the street, you know that he's thinking Torah. So Rabbi Shimon bar Abba was thinking Torah, and he was looking down, he was going in the road, and in front of him was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had a good idea. Since Rabbi Shimon bar Abba is looking down, he must see the ground, his eyes are open, he sees where he's going. So Rabbi Elazar had a golden coin in his pocket. The golden coin was worth a lot of money. Very quietly, that nobody could notice, he took the golden coin out and he let it drop on the ground. And it dropped into the dirt on the ground, but it was on top of the dirt. And he kept on walking. And behind him, a few feet, was Rabbi Shimon bar Abba. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba looked down and he saw the golden coin. And he picked it up. Now this is exactly what Rabbi Elazar wanted to happen. But all of a sudden, now let me explain to you something, because you have to learn a little bit of Mishnayos and Gemara to know this. What if you find something in the street? And let's say it's got the name... Let's say it's got the name Shmuley Schwartz. That's a made-up name. Let's say the name of somebody, you found, let's say, a toy in the street, and there's a name on it, Shmuley Schwartz. As soon as you find it, what mitzvah do you have? Who can come up to the microphone and tell me, what is the name of the mitzvah if you find something that somebody lost?
To give it back.
Okay, to give it back. You know what that's called in Hebrew?
Hashavas Aveda.
Hashavas Aveda. Very good. You say, look, a boy named Shmuley Schwartz lost this toy. So I have a mitzvah to go and give it back to him. Okay? Now, that's because there's a name on there. Or let's say you're in a Jewish neighborhood and most of the people walking in the street because they're coming out of their house and in the house are Jewish, right? And there might even be a shul on the block. And let's say you found a $10 bill. Oi, a $10 bill laying there on the sidewalk. Now, does it have somebody's name written on there? No. But when you pick it up, you say, look, it must be probably that a Jewish person from this neighborhood lost the money because most of the people around here are Jewish. So what should you do? You should try to find out who lost the money. So you can go put up a sign in the shul or a store and it says, whoever lost money, please call this phone number. And then if somebody lost the money, they can call you up and say, hello, I saw your phone number in the shul and I lost money. So you say, oh yeah, how much did you lose? I lost a $10 bill. Oh, I have it. So you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, right? Because it was in a place where most of the people are Jewish. But listen to what happened. The golden coin that fell into the dirt, did it have Rabbi Elazar's name on it? No. It was just a regular golden coin. Now, the street, was it a Yiddish street or mostly Goyim in the street? Mostly Goyim in the street. Now, when Reb Shimon Bar Abba picked it up, does he have the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda to go find the owner? Or because most of the people are Goyim, and there was nobody's name written on it, and there was nothing special that a person can say, this is exactly my money. It was just like a regular piece of money without any kind of a special mark on it. Is Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba allowed to keep it, or does he have to go and find out who owned it?
He could keep it.
He could keep it. According to the Torah, you're allowed to keep the money. And this is exactly the plan that Reb Elazar had. But you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba looked up, he looked around, and in front of him he saw Rabbi Elazar. And he ran after him. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, look what I found, a golden coin. It must be yours. Take it, because you were in front of me. It must be yours. Rabbi Elazar says, what? He didn't want to tell him that it was his coin, because he wanted to give it in this secret way. He wanted to give it to Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. He didn't want to tell him. But of course, does he want to tell a lie? No. So listen to what he did. He says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, you found this golden coin? Yeah, I found it in the dirt, but it must be yours because you're walking in front of me. He says, wait a minute. How do you know it's mine? Is my name on it? No. So, how do you know it's mine? Is this a Jewish neighborhood that most of the people are Jewish and you have to find out who's the owner because most of the people are Yidden or most of the people are Goyim? Most of the people are Goyim. It's a big street. Most of the people are Goyim. And Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, and if a Yid loses a coin like this on a big Goyish street, but mostly Goyim, does he think he's going to get it back? Or he says to himself, oh, probably somebody else found it and I'll never get it back, so I'm going to have to forget about it because I lost it in the big street. Do you think you're going to get it back, or probably somebody else took it? If somebody lost a coin, there was no name on it, and he lost it on a big Goyish street where there's thousands of Goyim going shopping, does he think he's going to get it back, or probably somebody else picked it up?
He's not going to get it back.
Okay, so he gives up. So Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, so according to the Torah, who's supposed to get the coin? Me, who you don't even know if it's mine or not, or you're supposed to keep it? And Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba says, well, according to the Torah, I'm supposed to keep it. So Rabbi Elazar smiling and says, look, according to the Torah, you're supposed to keep the coin. Don't you want to do what the Torah says? Okay. So he kept the coin, and Rabbi Elazar was very happy that he figured out this way that Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba should have some money, and he kept the money. Okay? Kinalach, not only you heard a story, you also learned some Mishnayos, and you learned some halachas, right, about Hashava Saveda? Okay. Now, in Eretz Yisrael was a big tzaddik and a judge, a dayan in the court, named Rabbi Yenison. Every Monday and every Thursday, whoever had an argument or a din Torah with somebody that has to go to the judge, they would go to Rabbi Yenison. They would come to his house. His house was also the Beis Din. And they would, of course, both of them have to be there if they have an argument, and he would sit and listen and judge and decide what has to be done. And everybody knew that he was always very fair, and he also, of course, was a great tzaddik, and it's not what he says, it's what the Torah says. A judge is only figuring out what the Torah says. Next door to Rabbi Yenison lived a Roman. This Roman loved to find reasons to make trouble for Yidden. He was a big troublemaker. And he looked to make trouble. He finds excuses. He would go tattle on the king. He would go tattle to the king against people, get them in trouble. And of course, that makes him to be a big shot, that he is helping the king and he is doing things for the government. And he would get some money for that and some covet for that. And, you know, this is what he did. One day, this Roman is sitting and he's thinking, how can I make trouble for the Jews? Nothing special is happening at all. What can I do that I should go and make some trouble for those Jews? And, of course, he himself just didn't like Jews. Besides that, he wants to be a big shot in the government. He says, ooh, I have a good idea. Next door to me is that Reb Yonason, who is the judge, and he decides what is right and what is wrong and who pays and who doesn't pay and all of these things in the courts. Let me go and listen. Let me listen in and see what's going on over there. Maybe I can make some trouble by listening in to see what's going on in the Beis Din. Who knows what kind of trouble I can make from that? Maybe I can say there's something wrong with the judges. There's something wrong with the government. And if the judges are not doing their job right, that they can get locked up in jail. Oh, maybe I'll get my neighbor in trouble. That'll be fun. Get a judge and a neighbor put in jail. Maybe I'll do that. Well, the Beis Din was open for people to go and listen. You were allowed to go in to listen. And even a Roman, if he wanted to, could go and listen. And sometimes a Roman did go and listen, or maybe a soldier went in to see what's going on. In other words, it did happen that a Roman would go into the house to listen to see what's happening in Beis Din. It was open for people to go in. And now this neighbor goes in, and he starts listening to the cases to see what's going on. All of a sudden, two men come in front of Rabbi Yonason. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon, so we don't get mixed up. And Reuven says, my neighbor Shimon, well, he's my neighbor. Well, the reason that I come to the Beis Din is that I have plants and flowers growing in my yard. And my neighbor Shimon has a big tree in his yard. And the big tree is not growing straight up, but it's growing in such a way that the branches are over my yard. The bottom, the trunk of the tree is in his yard. The tree is really in his yard, but it's big and it spreads its branches over my yard with the leaves and makes shady. And I don't like the shade because I say that the shade is ruining my plants and my flowers. Because some plants and flowers, they need shade, or shade does not hurt them. But some plants and flowers, they need the sun to shine. And that's when they grow good. And if it's too shady, that ruins them. So I say that my neighbor's tree is ruining my plants and my flowers, and I want him to cut off the branches that are over my yard. Now, that's what Reuven says he wants Shimon to do. And Shimon says, yeah, but it, you know, my tree is growing in my yard, and that's the way a tree grows. It just grows over, and so why should I cut down my beautiful tree just because it's making shade over his yard? Let him go and move his plants somewhere else, a different part of his field or something. I don't want to chop up my tree. That's the way a tree grows. It's in my yard, and that's the way it goes. It's going over his yard. Who says I have to cut down the branches? All of a sudden, the Roman has in his mind, ooh, this is going to be interesting. And I think I can even make some trouble out of this one. Why? Because in the same way that Reuven and Shimon are neighbors, and that Shimon has a tree in his yard that's growing over into Reuven's yard, the same thing was with Rabbi Yonason and the Roman. Rabbi Yonason had a big tree in his yard, and the branches were so big that they were going over the Roman's yard. Now, the truth is, the Roman didn't care. He didn't have plants, especially over there. And in fact, the Roman many times went out in his yard and sat in the shade of that tree, and it didn't bother him at all. So in that way, it wasn't like he had a complaint against his neighbor for having the tree there. But he thinks to himself, wait, the law would be the law. And it sounds over here in this case that he is going to make Shimon cut down the tree because it's bothering Reuven. That's what it's going to sound like. Now, if that's the law, that would mean that it's a law like that for everybody, that if you have a tree growing in your yard, you better make sure that the branches don't bother somebody else's yard. Now, what's going to be if the judge himself has branches growing over somebody's yard, and he goes and tells somebody else to chop down the branches, and he himself doesn't do it? Ooh, that's going to look very bad. The judge is telling people to do things that he himself is not doing. In other words, the judge is doing something wrong, and he goes and tells people to do something different. I could make very big trouble against that judge. It's like if you're only allowed to drive, let's say, 50 miles an hour, and you catch a judge going 80 miles an hour, well, the judge is punishing people for going too fast, and he himself is going 80 miles an hour. Does that look good? That the judge gets caught getting a ticket for speeding? And he's the one who says to everybody else, oh, you traveled more than 50 miles an hour. You broke the law. That would look very bad. And so the Roman says, let me listen to what Rabbi Nissim says. And maybe I can make some trouble over here. All of a sudden, Rabbi Nissim says to Reuven and Shimon, Reuven and Shimon, I hear what you're saying. I have to think it over a little bit. You'll come back, please, tomorrow morning, and we will judge your case. And that was it. They had to leave. They had to go away. And they will come back tomorrow. Well, Kidalak, I'll tell you what happened. Rabbi Yenison, right away, he knew that he had exactly that same situation in his yard with a tree. And he did not want to tell Shimon to cut down his branches while he had branches hanging over his neighbor's yard, because it wouldn't be proper. So right after the Beis Din was done, Rabbi Yenison called a worker, and he says to the worker, I want you to go into my yard, and wherever branches are going over my yard into the other yard, chop them down so they're not at all going into the other yard. And the worker went and did that. Now the Roman did not know that was happening. Probably had a big yard, the house was far away, he didn't look into his yard, and he did not at all know that that happened. Now, by the time the next morning came, and it was time for the Beis Din, or maybe they came back specially, because as I told you, it meant Monday and Thursday, and he told them to come the next day, maybe they just came back. The Roman also came to see what's going to be. And he was getting ready to make fun, or make trouble, or do something against Rabbi Yenison. And all of a sudden, Reuven and Shimon showed up. Rabbi Yenison says, okay, this is what's going to be. Reuven, your tree is growing over Shimon's yard. It's bothering him. So you, please cut down the branches that it's not growing over into his yard. And all of a sudden, the Roman starts to scream, that's not good what you say. You're saying something that you yourself don't do, because your branches are in my yard. You have a tree with branches growing over in my yard, and here you go and tell him to chop down the branches, and you don't do the same thing? I'm going to go tell the Roman king on you that you're making such a law, and it's not right because you don't do it yourself. And he starts to look around, that people should look at him and say, yeah, you're right. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yenison says, what do you mean? Who says that I don't do that myself? Of course, I would only tell somebody else to do something that I do myself. Yeah, but look at your tree. You could leave it, look out the window. You could see it. And the people went to the window, they looked out, and they saw that the tree was only growing to the end of the yard, and every branch was chopped off before it got into the other yard, just like he said for Reuven and Shimon to do. And the Roman looked at that and he said, oh, I see that you Jews are very smart and you're very fair and you keep your hair very carefully. And from then on, the Roman didn't make any trouble, not for Abianus and not for any Jews. He had great respect. And he, instead of a troublemaker, he was okay. The reason we have two challahs on the table for Shabbos, Lechem Mishnah, is because it shows a double bracha. One bracha is for the week, and the other bracha is for Shabbos. And we get the money during the week for Shabbos, so on Shabbos you don't have to work, but still you have enough money to buy the things for Shabbos because it came in the week. Now let me tell you a story to show you that. There's Reuven and there's Shimon. Reuven has a store, and next door Shimon has a store. And every day they go in the morning and they open up the store and people come in and they buy things and they pay money, and at the end of the day Reuven has money and Shimon has money. Alright? Now, Kinalach, what happened is this. Reuven works during the week, but his store is closed for Shabbos. And Shimon, unfortunately, was not exactly so careful in Torah mitzvahs. He wasn't exactly so frum. He probably didn't learn in yeshiva when he was a boy, and his tati and mami didn't teach him. So he decided that he's going to keep his store open on Saturday. You know what Saturday is? Because he says, I look out on the street on Saturday, and I see more people shopping on Saturday than during the week. Because during the week, a lot of people are working. And Saturday, a lot of people are off. And so the goyim go out on Saturday shopping a lot. And in fact, the stores are very crowded on Saturday. I'm going to open up my store on Saturday, and I'm going to have a lot of customers, and I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to make much more money than Reuven does in his store, because his store is closed on Saturday. All right. Now, at the end of the week, actually in the beginning of the new week, Sunday morning, the beginning of the new week, which was the end of the last week, so Shimon goes over to Reuven's store. Reuven, how much money did you make last week when your store was open for 6 days? Reuven says, well, I made $1,000. And Shimon is laughing, ha ha ha, too bad. And Reuven says to Shimon, what's too bad? Well, you know how much I made during the week? $2,000. Well, that's pretty good, says Reuven. Yeah, but you don't understand. I had my store open for 6 days from Sunday until Friday. I made $1,000. But on Saturday alone, I had so many people shopping, I made an extra $1,000 on Saturday alone. So I made $2,000 because my store was open on Saturday. Don't you want your store to be open on Saturday, Reuven? And Shimon and Reuven says, Chas v'shalom, Shabbos. And besides, whatever money comes on Shabbos, it's not going to be for a bracha. That money is not really meant for you to have, because you're Jewish and you should have your store closed on Shabbos. You should be home with your family and you should go to shul and be with your kinderlach and make kiddush, and you should have a nice Shabbos suda, and you shouldn't even think about going to work. And besides, money is muktzeh. I mean, Hashem doesn't want you to have the extra money that you make on Saturday on Shabbos. It's something that's not going to be for a bracha. And Shimon is laughing. Yeah, but I got an extra $1,000. And I have it here. Look, I have $2,000. And you only made $1,000. So I made much more than you. So of course I have even more of a bracha. And Reuven just shakes his head like this. Nope. It's not for a bracha. Well, Shimon didn't understand. But what he did was he took the $2,000 and he goes home and he says, oh boy, look how much money I have. And as soon as he gets home, his wife says, hey, Shimon, do you have some money? The washing machine broke and we have to get it repaired. It's going to cost $200. Whoa, $200, that's very expensive. Well, I guess I have to pay it. Here it is. All right. And then a little while later, all of a sudden there's a big crash, and one of the kids knocked over a very expensive lamp because they were playing ball in the living room. What happened to that lamp? That's such an expensive lamp. It's worth $400, that lamp. It's so expensive and it's broken. Oh, no. $600 that day, just gone down the drain. And that night, one of the kids woke up with a big fever. Oh, in my head, I have a headache. I'm so sick. Call the doctor. Okay, we have to call the doctor. And the doctor comes over. Yes, this child needs some special antibiotics because the child needs something very special. And also the house call, of course, in the middle of the night is very expensive. And the whole thing costs another $100. Oh, boy. Between the washing machine and the lamp and the doctor for the kid, it's already $700 that we spent on these things. Well, the next day, Mrs. Shimon goes shopping, and she goes to the parking lot, and all of a sudden she comes to her car. Oy vey, a big dent in the car. It looks like a truck backed into my car and made a big dent in it. Oy vey, I have to take it to the man in the gas station who fixes the cars. And she gets the bill, $300 to fix the car. And Shimon says, $1,000 is already gone because we had all these things happen. Oh, no. And another day during the week, the dryer breaks down. And another day in the week, the refrigerator breaks down. And another day in the week, there's something else that breaks in the house they have to get fixed. By the end of the week, Shimon goes over to Reuven in his store. Reuven, I see you're closing your store early on Friday. I guess you're going home for Shabbos, right? Yeah, I have to, buy a few things and have to get ready for Shabbos. I want to get home early. By the way, Reuven, maybe you have a few extra dollars to lend. I need some money. What, Shimon? You need some money? What's the problem? Yeah, well, I also have to do a little shopping, but I ran out of money. Wait a minute, Shimon, you had $2,000 this week. You had so much more than me. So I don't understand. I'll gladly give you the money because I have it, but, what happened to the money? And Shimon starts to cry. The washing machine breaks down, and the lamp breaks, and the car gets a big dent because a truck ran into it, and all kinds of things happened, and one of my kids got sick and had to have expensive medicine, and all my money ran out during the week. And he says, Reuven, how come you only made $1,000 and you have money to lend me? Well, Reuven says, I'll tell you something. I didn't have the washing machine break, Baruch Hashem, and the dryer is fine. And Baruch Hashem, the car works. And Kinai Nahara, the Kinalachar Gesund. I just didn't have these expenses. And Shimon says, I think I understand what you said about the bracha. Because even I made the money, but the money went away for all kinds of things that were not so good. So I see that one thing is to have the money. The other thing is that you should spend the money only on good things and not on other kind of things. So what good was the money that I made on Shabbos? What good was it? Well, Reuven says, you know what? You can always change that. And you can always realize that Hashem will send you the bracha during the week. And all you have to do is work for the 6 days. And if you close your store on Shabbos, you can have a beautiful Shabbos. And you'll have the money anyway in the end, whatever was coming to you from Hashem. Because it's up to Hashem not only to give money, but to give the bracha for the money to go in the right place. And Shimon says, you know what, maybe I'm going to close my store and go home for Shabbos, just like you. Okay, no problem. Can I give you a ride home? Yeah. My car broke down again. I had to walk to work. You don't mind taking me home? Oh, okay, Reuven says, come into my car. And Reuven drives Shimon home to his house, and Shimon got ready for Shabbos, and they had a beautiful Shabbos. Now you understand what the bracha is, Kinalach? The bracha comes in the week, so it's enough for the week and for Shabbos, like a double bracha. So we have on our table two challahs called Lechem Mishneh.